How can you just walk away from me when all I can do is watch you leave? 'Cause we shared the laughter and the pain, and even shared the tears. You're the only one who really knew me at all. So take a look at me now. Well, there's just an empty space, and there's nothing left here to remind me, just the memory of your face. Take a look at me now.
Welcome to another edition of Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by TornbySports.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hey, John.
Hello, Alan.
And hello, Devin.
Hi, guys.
We're doing an early Friday morning podcast, and it's really not early because it's 10, but...
It's early.
It's 12 hours earlier than we're usually recording, so it's early. Welcome, guys, in the morning.
Hey, guys, does that mean we have a morning show?
We have a morning show. Should we adjust our voices accordingly?
Good morning, Vietnam. Oh, wait, sorry.
Okay, back on track.
Oh, man.
Speaking of first topics,
yes?
The playoffs are going on. We are down to our final eight teams. Any surprises thus far? Not counting injuries, because, of course, those are surprising.
Portland, for me, was a surprise, but that had a lot to do with injuries. But aside from that, I am surprised that Oklahoma City squeaked out one in San Antonio, but that's also credit to San Antonio. I mean, Oklahoma City squeaked one out after playing possibly their best and only good game of the series, is my guess. And San Antonio played a really bad game, and Oklahoma City squeaked it out by one. I don't know how much of a moral victory you take out of that if you're Oklahoma City in the series. I don't think you do.
Really? It's on the road against San Antonio.
Moral victory. A victory is a victory.
I know, but I call it moral victory because in the end, I still think they're going to lose, and I actually think they're going to lose in five. I don't know. San Antonio didn't play a good game. And I feel like they lost that game more than Oklahoma City pulling that game out.
Yeah, I mean, the Spurs started 1-for-12 shooting, if I remember right, in that game. And they just had a ton of spots where they just seemed flat-footed, and OKC was ready to turn it on. But if you get a win on the road, the series is redefined.
Right.
So I think OKC goes home for two games with a lot more confidence than they otherwise would have had. No, and I do still think the Spurs will win the series, but you gotta salute them for getting a win on the road against San Antonio, especially the ending where the refs missed a ton of calls and OKC won anyway.
Yeah, that looked like a Jazz game, didn't it? The way that was called at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
It was pretty
horrific. The NBA is lucky that OKC still won, or there would be a lot of crying foul.
Well, and don't get me wrong, I'm not downplaying what Oklahoma City did, because I think what they did was good to win one on the road. I think it's an overstatement that San Antonio just... I don't know. San Antonio, the way they just clobbered him in game one... I had to believe, and the way San Antonio's been playing, I had to believe that San Antonio should win this series pretty easily, and I still want to believe that. Also, you're saying salute Oklahoma City. I can do that. I won't salute Cantor's mustache, though. Sorry, I just won't.
What about Adams?
Adams, I can salute. Cantor, though? Wow.
I raised my mug to Stephen Adams' mustache.
I guess I'm alone in not liking that man's appearance.
It's not just his mustache, though. It's his mustache, the hair. He's got that whole...
He looks like a pirate, okay?
He
Let's
does.
Just call it what
exactly,
it is.
Exactly. He needs to be in Pirates of the Caribbean 5. It's a failure of his agent if he is not in that movie.
But Cantor like is clean cut other than that little mustache, but it's like he's got the Hitler look, guys. Seriously.
It's not that thin of a mustache. Anyway, yes, let's move on from mustaches.
Come
stop
on.
How about that Cleveland right. game the other night? Did you guys see that? Was it 25
yeah,
threes?
Yeah, I was Locke had an episode the other day where he was talking about the increase of threes every year and how we're only going to see more of that. I mean, that was amazing to see. And that's the trend of the league is more and more threes. And so, you know, awesome that they broke the record and perspective, that's going to be a record that'll probably be broken in just another year or two, because that's the way the league's going, more and more and more threes.
I honestly don't know if that record will last through the playoffs if Steph Curry comes back, because I just get the feeling that Golden
Excellent.
State's like, you know what, we can do that too. And there's a good chance that if they meet Cleveland, they're going to say, and we're going to do it against you.
And there's no mustaches involved.
No. Yeah, I could see them doing that. Touching on Portland, I mean, it wasn't surprising to me they advanced once the injuries happened with the Clippers. Golden State is playing it smart. I think Golden State should go ahead and keep Steph sitting until they lose a game. I could see them losing game three, but it seems to be working out for them.
Hey, so your thoughts on game two.
Yeah.
So game one we go back to and Golden State just came in and dominated, but game two was Portland's game. And I mean, give credit to Golden State for the defense they played in the final minutes of that game. But I thought that game still was Portland's game to win, and they couldn't quite pull it out. And I don't know if that's youth on their part. Golden State is very good. I won't deny that. I just felt like, did it ever feel like Portland had a chance in that game when they were leading most of the game?
Well, they led for a lot of the second half, but once it was tied up there's like 6 minutes to go and Golden State got it tied up. It felt like the momentum was on their side, that I just didn't believe that Portland was going to be able to pull it out. Even though they made it close and they got down by six and then came within four, but they just edged away. And, you know, Golden State won by 11. They won the first game by 12. So it's been about the same.
But that first game, they were up by as much as 20 something at one point in time. And Portland, back to game two, Portland led the entire game. The last time, you know, other than the early 3-0 lead that Golden State had, Portland led from then on until the final stretch of the game in the fourth quarter there, when Green just went on a tear on the defensive end and offensive end. Portland controlled that game. They led. They were up by 9 at one point in time there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I just opened up play-by-play to kind of scroll through. Yeah, I mean, I remember it was really close in the third, and then Portland, I think they were up by 10. Yeah, there it is. They were up by 10 at one point, but you know, Golden State just kept chipping away and chipping away, and once Golden State tied it, I just figured they had the game.
And credit to Green, he's such a good player defensively and offensively. He doesn't even have to pass the ball to be, have to shoot the ball or score the ball to be effective. He is the reason I don't like Golden State, but he's also the reason that I think Golden State, he's one of the big reasons Golden State's as good as they are. He and Steph, I mean, Steph is the offensive powerhouse on that team, but Green, just what he does on both ends of the floor, he's a two-way player. He's so good at what he does.
Yeah, Green's the kind of player where it's really easy to hate him and root against him. At the same time, you know you would love him on your team, and your feelings would completely change if he was traded to your team.
Yeah.
You know, he's not like Harden, where you just don't want to even think about him. You're just like, ugh, that guy.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Green is the guy, I don't know. He's like that X factor for Golden State. Like, but he's not an X factor. I don't know how to describe the guy, but yeah, I'm with you. You love to hate him, but if he's on your team, you can't hate. You can't at all. Devin, what are your thoughts on this series? You haven't even poked your head in on this one yet.
Yeah. Well, guys. No, I watched the start of that game when Portland was doing well, and I thought, yes, they have a chance. And even though they were still ahead in the game, my heart started to go, this isn't going to end the way you want it to. Just turn it off now. And I did, and then it did. And so I think Golden State clearly will win this series. But I still think Portland can put up a fight. I can see them winning one of these next two games at home and maybe sneaking a second win. I know that sounds crazy, but if Curry's not playing, I think it's possible. You just never know when you're going to have that McCollum-Lillard tandem just completely go off. And they've had some guys, if I recall, who have stepped up a little bit more lately. Maybe not in this series, but in the last series at least.
Yeah, they have. The thing is, too, is I don't think we've seen Lillard's best in this series yet either. And part of that, you go back to game one, part of that is the way that Golden State's defending him, because they're putting Thompson on him a lot. Thompson's bigger, longer. And then on the defensive end, he's having to guard Livingston, and that's hell on wheels for Lillard. I mean, trying to guard a bigger guard who can post you up, fade away, who can out-physical you. It's been tough for Lillard. I'd like to see, I think on his home court, he can come alive, maybe have his best games. McCollum, I thought McCollum's best game was game two, and he played extremely well. I just think you need that from both Lillard and McCollum at an extremely high level if you have any chance of winning.
And I'm glad you brought up Livingston, because that's something that Jazz fans can kind of look at in this series and see that as maybe, I would think, the floor for Dante. I think Dante can at least be what Livingston is, even though he's having his best season, I believe, of his career this year. Would you agree that's where we can expect Dante to at least get to?
Oh yeah,
I think,
I mean,
so.
Livingston was supposed to be really good, and he probably would have been if it wasn't for his early injuries. But yeah, I'm watching what Livingston's doing now, and they're about the same height and same wingspan, and that's exactly it. Is you can look at Livingston and say this is what Dante will at least be.
What I will say too is, and it's really hard because you're looking at two different dimensions of Golden State. When Steph Curry's on the floor, you have to watch out because he can hit from anywhere. You have to guard up on him and almost look to trap him as you can. With Livingston, it's an entirely different ball game. Golden State adjusts their offense when Livingston's on the floor. Instead of running some high screens and getting him the ball outside the three-point line like they do for Steph, they look quite often to get him the ball in the post and to get him low cuts and screens kind of in the paint area a little bit, and it works. And he's tough to guard. He is tough because he's tall, but that fadeaway, he has that going, and he's very quick in the post to get around players. It doesn't matter what size he's going up against. I like the dimension that Livingston gives this Golden State team without Steph Curry.
And again, tying that back to Exum, the offensive end isn't where I'm really all that concerned, because I think he'll continue to grow and develop. I mean, he's what, 20, 21 years old right now?
Right.
But mm-hmm. it's the defense and the fact that you can put a longer guard on someone like Lillard and create a headache for someone who, I mean, he's torched Curry.
Yeah, he has.
So it's really exciting from a Jazz fan perspective to watch that matchup there and think, ooh, we could have this scenario start to play out as early as next season.
And really, this is my last statement I'll make on the Lillard bit, is it's more than just one player, though, with Lillard that I have noticed that Golden State's done. They have tried very hard to push him off the three-point line and into the paint. And it's almost like they funnel him right at Green every time, or at some of the longer guys in the paint. They don't allow him to get many shots off. And a lot of the shots he made in game two were still shots where he was guarded, where guys came at him. from either side and made it difficult for him to make. Golden State is really, really narrowing in on Lillard and not letting him have his comfort spots at all. I think that you think that 51-point game might have alerted him to that fact way back when.
Well, it's kind of like when you have any superstar on a team, you want to force someone else to make the shot. Portland benefits because they have kind of the Klay Thompson, if you will, to Lillard, you know, in McCollum. But you'd see people do this with LeBron. We're going to make someone else hit the shot. They'll do it with Harden. Okay, we're just going to make someone else take the shot if we can, if he's not going to just fake getting fouled the whole game. So it's something that I think you'll see a lot of anywhere you look, but it is probably pretty obvious the way Golden State's doing it.
Anything you want to add, John?
Well, I wanted to touch on the other series, and that's Toronto and Miami.
The best series?
Yeah, I wanted to get at that one too, because a very good series. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, Miami has been playing great, and they did get the news that Chris Bosh will be out for the rest of the year. I figured he was out for the rest of the year anyway. But it's been amazing to watch Dwayne Wade really kind of be, he's like his old self again. And the series is tied up, and it's not just Dwayne Wade's resurgence, but it's Kyle Lowry's regression. Kyle Lowry's shooting has been terrible. And Toronto finally got to the second round for the first time in 15 years, but I don't, you know, I would say between the two teams, I'm liking what Miami's doing more than Toronto. And that's primarily because Lowry's shooting has been so bad.
Two things to that. One, back to your point about Wade, this is vintage Wade. I don't think we've seen this Wade in a very long time. Even when LeBron and Bosch and everybody was on that team that went to the finals, you know, 3 years in a row, I don't think we saw this vintage Wade. He's game one was incredible. Watching what he did on both ends of the floor, I felt like he had taken, you know, 5 to 10 years step backwards in age a little bit, and was back to his young self again. But to your other point, I didn't watch last night, but did Kyle Lowry shoot better last night?
He was 7 of 22.
So he's still not shooting well. And yeah, after game one he remained in the arena until well after midnight taking shots.
As he should. You know, they're saying he has problems with his elbow and it's screwed up his shot. And so he needs to figure out how to shoot it with the elbow he has, because the Raptors are not going to win this series if he keeps shooting this way. And, you know, Whiteside's really earning his next contract. He's been really good for them. They've had some guys step up. You know, Haslam's been reliable off the bench. Who's been their sixth man? Josh Richardson. Josh Richardson has been solid for Miami. He's a pretty decent defender. You know, Miami's team defense, and it's not just Whiteside, but their team defense has been surprisingly effective. And you know, the Raptors were lucky to get the one win they did have. It was an overtime game. So,
well, and
yeah, when they go back to Miami, I'm expecting Miami to win at least one, but I could definitely see Miami winning both of those games.
And really, Toronto was lucky to even get the first game into overtime with that miracle shot that was by Lowry.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
well, and you're right, John, their team defense has been incredible. Game one, just watching, I mean, Miami swarmed the ball a lot late in that game, that gave them opportunity after opportunity on the offensive end to get scores and get the win. The one other guy you didn't mention, I'm just curious, Justice Winslow. I haven't really looked at his numbers. I think he's played pretty well in this series, hasn't he?
He wasn't that great in game two. I don't remember what he did in game one.
That's what I'm trying to remember. I thought I saw his name called a few times in game one.
I just pulled up the box score. He was minus 12 at 14 minutes.
I mean, it could be worse.
Minus 12 in a win, I guess. Okay.
Well, yeah. the other
no, they lost.
Came
they
out,
lost. This
or,
is,
yeah,
this
game is two. The... Game two. Yes, they lost -12. Game one, I don't remember how he was. I don't remember that one at all.
Well, the other news that came out this week is there was a little bit of talk about Chris Bosh, and there seemed to be some disagreement between him and the Miami front office, coaching staff, whatever, about him potentially playing this postseason. And it came out a couple days ago that has just been put to rest. So as well as Wade is playing, he's going to have to keep that up because, CB isn't coming back this year for him.
Well, and I don't expect Toronto to win this series. I think Miami will. But that's going to be an even tougher matchup in the second round because they're going to, or not the second round, in the
conference finals,
because they're going to have to face LeBron and Cleveland. And that's where I think Dwayne Wade runs out of gas. I mean, Cleveland's path to the NBA finals is pretty much set for them right now, because I don't see them losing to Atlanta. And even once Miami gets past Toronto, I don't see Cleveland losing to Miami either.
Yeah. I think your finals are going to, I still believe Golden State will get there. I expect Curry to sit out game three. And if Portland wins, Curry's back for game four. If Golden State wins, Curry, Steve Kerr's probably tempted to sit him out for game four too. We'll see how that goes. But I think by the time they're, ready and Curry's healthy and in the groove, I still think Golden State will be able to, barring injuries, still be able to repeat.
See, here's the
and
thing.
And then do so against the Cavs.
With Kerr and his decision, I would think that you want to get Curry as much rest as you can. But I want him playing a game before you match up against who we expect will be San Antonio. I would have a little bit of a concern, at least, about there being some rust coming off that much time off. So I wouldn't be surprised even if Golden State kind of lets a game go, if you will. If they win game three, they let game four go to Portland, and then they finish them at home, get Curry that extra rest.
And then play game five.
Let him play one game at home.
Right.
Where they really almost are guaranteed a win. That's what I would look at.
And to your credit, I hope they do that, because let's not forget San Antonio is the one team – sans Utah, the one team that guarded Curry probably better than any other team in the league during the year. So Curry never had a good game against San Antonio. Just didn't happen. So it's going to be tough, and you want him on target and on par for that series.
Right. But if John's correct and, we see Portland win game three, then to me, you can't let this become a three-game series. You just can't, because it even when you're the defending champs, even when you've had the best record of the regular season ever, you don't want a three-game series. I don't care who you are. So if that happens, either Golden State has to take care of business in game four without Curry, or they're going to play him and say, we need him. We're just going to limit his minutes if we can.
Right.
John, would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the only way Golden State lets a game go is if Steve rests more players, and that would be the ultimate boss move, to decide you're just going to rest players in the middle of the playoffs. But the thing is, I see him keeping Curry out, and if the game happens to go the way of Portland winning, great. But if Golden State still sweeps Portland with Curry sitting, then, well, they're just that good. And then Curry will play game one against San Antonio. But it's really up to Portland to beat them. I don't think Kerr's going to... The only assistance Kerr is going to give them is by being cautious with Steph Curry.
Right. Okay, let's transition from the playoffs. I think we've covered them enough. So let's transition. There was a firing this week. Frank Vogel of Indiana. Larry Bird dropping the hammer on yet another coach.
It's a stupid move.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. The question is, I mean, we know Frank Vogel is going to get a job somewhere. He will. And he's going to do well wherever it is. Where does Larry Bird go from here for Indiana?
See, I don't know. I don't think you let a coach like Frank Vogel go unless you have an idea of where you're going next. And it didn't look like Larry knows where he's going next. I haven't seen anything today. But you know, Larry's the same guy that let Rick Carlisle go. Jim O'Brien was very understandable, but you know, now he's letting Frank Vogel go, and I don't necessarily think you're going to be better off. I mean, depends who you get, but are there free agent coaches who are better than Vogel out there right now?
Well,
you know, or is there some assistant that he's looking at? I'm not really sure what he's going to do, but it just doesn't make sense to me why you would let Vogel go with all the roster problems they've had lately.
Yeah, I don't know either. Unless, you know, and I saw this name poked around, but I don't think this will happen unless he feels like bringing in former teammate Kevin McHale to come run the show. But I don't believe that will happen.
I saw McHale withdrew consideration from the Sacramento job.
Yes.
That wouldn't be the craziest thing I've heard.
I don't think it'll happen, but you're right. It wouldn't be the
craziest. My first reaction is no, but as I sit here and think about it, you know, maybe, who knows? That'd be kind of funny, actually. But the thing is McHale really that much better than Vogel? I mean, what is McHale really proven? He got the Rockets to the Western Conference Finals somehow, but was fired 10 games later. His stint with the Timberwolves wasn't really that successful. I don't know.
He's not defensive minded, and that's where Frank Vogel's forte was his defensive, his team's defense was always very good. So you know, McHale's not going to bring you lockdown defense like Vogel did.
And see, Vogel, I think, is a guy who maximized talent. And
yes,
I think a really good indication of a coach that does that is what happens to their players when they leave. Lance Stephenson left, and he's been a disaster everywhere else. Roy Hibbert left, and he was part of the millstone of the Lakers. I mean, you know, he's been a good coach.
Well, and you look back at Frank Vogel before Indiana, he was where?
I don't remember. Where was he?
Wasn't he with the Nets during their run with Jason Kidd back in the day?
Is that where he came from?
I could have sworn he took the Nets to the conference finals and on.
No, he was with the, I just pulled up his page. He was an assistant in Boston for 3 years and then Philadelphia for a year. And then there's a blank space for 2 years. And then he was Indiana assistant coach for 3 years before he got the head coach job.
Okay, my bad. I had him mixed up. I'm picturing another coach in my mind and it's not Frank Vogel. That's right. Good call. But no, he's well, and it's stint in Boston. Look at who he was tutored under. So no, it's a guy that I think it's a shame. And like I said, I think he'll get a coach somewhere. He'll get a spot somewhere.
You know who he was tutored under?
Who?
Jim O'Brien. Jim O'Brien was the head coach of the Celtics. Vogel was his assistant. O'Brien gets fired. Vogel leaves. He goes to Philly. And then I don't know what he does for 2 years. And then he's Jim O'Brien's assistant again at Indiana. and then he gets the head coaching job when O'Brien gets fired again.
So what you're saying is let's watch and see if Jim O'Brien gets a head coaching job and we know where Frank Vogel will end up. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Jim O'Brien has not been around. He was assistant coach in Dallas in 2013, and I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he's in a front office somewhere or what. Yeah. Did he go back to college? I don't know.
Anyway, it's sad. It's a travesty. It's another one of those coaching situations that just is a head scratcher. But so be it.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other major coaching news is in the NBA or anything else that I've seen come up the last week. So
I saw a note that Byron Scott was shocked that the Lakers fired him. I thought that was funny.
shocked. Oh, that's my next question. No, that wasn't my next question. Forget it. I had some grandiose thought come into my brain, and then it just kind of whisked away. So, hey, see you later, thought.
All right, it's gone. Now let's go to the Utah Jazz. Quinn Snyder got his extension. That's the only real Jazz news I could see this week. I know they're inviting in some players, but I'm not ready to get excited about the draft yet. I mean, extending Snyder's a no-brainer. But one thing I wanted to do was continue looking at free agents. And then as we do this week by week, once we're done looking at all the category, by then I will be studying the draft prospects and be ready to talk about them more in depth as I do more research on them.
Sounds good. Let's do it. Week two. We went with point guards last week. So this week we are on to the two guards.
I just did wings so that we could talk about big men in week three and then go from there.
Okay, so wings.
I'm going alphabetical order by teams. Atlanta has a very intriguing guy in Kent Bazemore. He will be a free agent. Bazemore has shown vast improvement when he was able to join the Hawks squad. He will probably be looking for big money, so Bazemore is a guy you want to decide. You know, how much money you're going to throw at him, especially for a guy who's probably going to be coming off your bench. You know, is he tempting to you? He's averaging 11 points a game. He's 35.7 from three. He's been one of the Hawks' better players. He's the guy people can scout as they watch the Hawks, you know, die an ignominious death against the Cavs in this final round of the series. But I think he's an intriguing guy. I don't think the money will probably work out with him. But, you know, he's out there. Boston, we talked a little bit about Evan Turner last week. I was looking more at him. His strength would be his ball handling ability. He's not a great outside shooter, and I think the Jazz really want to upgrade their outside shooting, and that's my main hesitation with Evan Turner. He's part of the class of 2010. He was the second round pick in a draft where Derek Favors and Gordon Hayward went later. He's bounced around the league a bit now. He would be a pretty decent pickup if the price is right.
Now, wait, where was he selected?
He was the second pick.
Okay, he was the number two pick. I'm sorry, I heard he was second number round. Two pick.
No, yeah, sorry. That year it was John Wall, Evan Turner, Derek Favors, Wesley Johnson, DeMarcus Cousins, Epke Udo, Greg Monroe, Al-Farouq Aminu, Gordon Hayward, Paul George, and you go from there.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he someone that had kind of bounced around? Wasn't he drafted by Philly and got traded to the Pacers?
Yes.
And then he got waived or something? And
yeah.
Well, he was Philly's big pickup, and he was the star in Philly, and he looked like he was a decent pick. He looked like number two might have been too high, but he still looked worthy of being a lottery pick in his time in Philly. But as soon as they traded him away from Philly, his career went downhill. And I think he's on his fourth team now, if I remember right.
Yeah, because he did end up with the Pacers, and I can't remember the other team he was with. The thing about him in Philly
this is his third team.
What's that?
It's his third team. He went to the Pacers, and it was just awful for them.
The thing about
he's been better in Boston.
The thing about Evan Turner, the one thing that does concern me is back to your point is his shooting, which I think is one of the reasons why he was moved from Philly. Because if you remember, they had him on that team, and then three years later, they picked up Michael Carter Williams, and didn't you have both of them on the team at the same time?
I think he was part of the jettison when that's when the tanking in Philly began.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
They unloaded him and everybody else, but that was the year that they let Doug Collins go.
That's right.
And they gave away all their good players, and they just instantly went in the tank that year. And they traded Drew Holiday to New Orleans.
That was my bad then. I was trying to remember the timeline on that one. I just know, I think one of the things that's haunted Evan Turner everywhere he's been is his shooting. And that's really what's been the problem. And I think that Brad Stevens has helped to revive his career a little bit this year in Boston. And again, we talked about this last week. So he's a player that, yes, intrigues me. But back to your caveat, I agree. The fact that he can't shoot the ball consistently worries me just a little bit.
I'll say this. He intrigued me a few years ago. He doesn't really now. I'm not a fan. Let's move on.
Right.
Yeah.
Who's the next on the list?
Well, Charlotte has some pieces. Nick Batum, Charlotte has made clear it's their number one priority. So, you know, you're not going to get Nick Batum unless you want to throw $20 million a year at him. And I don't think he's that good. I don't think he's a $20 million a year guy. But there are some other pieces that might be worth looking at again. Marvin Williams is a free agent. Marvin Williams has actually become a better player since he left the Jazz. And he's still a younger guy. He's only 30. But he's 40% shooter from three. He's a really good defender. He's a really good two-way player at this point. Just a really good glue guy. And he would be an upgrade over Trevor Booker in that position. Kind of a backup four. He could be a backup 3-4. Versatile player. He was a really good community guy when he was here last time.
Yes, he was.
He was here under Ty last time, so he might be, I think he would be open to be returned to the Jazz on a better team.
And he's played the stretch four position for a large part of his career as well, including down in Atlanta.
Yeah, he would be a backup 3-4 guy. You could use him either way. So, you know, if Quinn wants to go long, he would be there. And if you want him for your stretch four, he's really more of a four than a three at this point in his career anyway.
I wouldn't mind his veteran leadership for a guy like Trey Lyles either.
Yeah.
I do have to say this. I woke up this morning and I checked my On This Day history on Facebook, and 3 years ago I posted a song by Phil Collins called Against All Odds. And I just feel like that's very fitting right now with the talk of bringing Marvin back.
Right? I mean, in the end, I don't know that Jazz fans would be too opposed to that. I know I wouldn't be opposed to that.
I think some would.
That may be the case. I just, of the names that you've rattled off so far, John, Bazemore intrigues me. But beyond that, Marvin's the first name you've mentioned that I think, you know, that for an affordable price is a guy that I don't mind having on this team.
But here's what you're going to get, I think. And John, tell me if I'm completely off base here. But I think you're going to get those people that start going, oh, Snyder's just like Corbin. We're bringing back the same guys. We need to play our young guys. We're sick of the vets. You're going to get that same thing because it's the same guy. It doesn't matter if he's a better player. It doesn't matter if it's a good fit. I think you're going to get that same whining out of the same crowd.
I think it's a smaller crowd at this point. The problem with vets was it was very clearly a year of developing the young players, and yet Ty insisted on starting Richard Jefferson the whole year.
Did you see his
dunk,
though?
And Marvin Williams most of the year.
He had the dunk of the week last week.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying about Marvin is, you know, for anyone paying attention, he was a decent player when he was here, but he is an even better player now than when he was here the first time around. And so the idea of Marvin, he's a good guy. Everyone liked him. He's a better player than he was. And then if he came back, he would be coming back to a better coach and a better team. And so that's why I really like the idea of Marvin. And, you know, Jazz have a hit and miss record of bringing guys back, and just as often as not, the second time around doesn't work.
Two names, Rajah Bell and Mo Williams.
I knew you were going to say that.
Two names, Rajah Bell and Mo Williams.
But Marvin is not over the hill like that. Marvin's you know, Marvin's still only 30 years old, and he's a really good player.
And he's not a Rajah Bell. Okay, right. Let's not put that on him.
No, and he's absolutely not.
Okay.
All right, let me move on. Courtney Lee is the other one.
Ooh.
Courtney Lee's the other Courtney Lee.
Yes.
No, I said
no.
Ooh.
No. He got googly eyes when you said that.
Yeah. So Courtney, he's a 39% shooter from three. He would be a really good guy to come off the bench and give you good offense. I think he's someone else that they would have to look at.
What are you thinking money wise there?
I really don't know. I forgot to look up everyone's salaries on what they were earning last year. Let me pull up his page real quick. He made $5.5 million last year. I think he will get a raise. Do you want to throw like a 4-year, $28 million at Courtney Lee? Would that get Courtney Lee? You know, it's worth thinking about.
I'll throw that at him. With the cap going up, sure thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's keep him in mind. Next team is Cleveland. LeBron James. He can opt out. I'm just saying.
Now, do you really want to bring a guy like that into the Jazz?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
He's over 30.
Yes.
He's shown that his outside shot is not as successful as it used to be. And that's something that the Jazz are looking for as an outside shooter.
Nope.
You got to go back to the vets problem.
Yep. He's kind of ball dominant at times.
Guys.
Biggest concern.
Wow.
The biggest concern.
There's only one player in the league, only one that you can put on any team in the league, and they literally are in the finals every year. And only one player, and that's LeBron James.
Okay, two things, and then we're done. You need to look at one, his hairline, because that's going to bring criticism to your team. For some reason, that seems to matter to people. And two, he's going to be very distracted.
I'm tired of the follically challenged being bigoted against.
As am I. But here's number two, and this is the big concern. He has other engagements with the Toon Squad, and you don't want to risk someone getting injured playing intergalactic hoops battles.
Well, we'll just have to have him on this podcast. LeBron, I know you listen. Your people, get in touch with my people, and we'll get you on the show, and we'll talk about this. Okay, who's next on the list?
The other guys are J.R. Smith, James Jones, Richard Jefferson. Moving on. actually, there are a bunch that I was just writing down because they're there, but none of them are. I mean, like, hey, Brandon Rush will be available.
Ooh, that'd be fun. That is a Rajah Bell situation.
Wow. Okay, next.
A guy that just sat on the batch with a dark cloud over him for a year.
And a box of Twinkies. Now.
What do you do on Tinder when you see somebody you don't want to even? It's swipe right if you like him. What do you do if you don't like him?
You swipe left, Alan.
Okay, so fine. Here we go. Brandon Rush, swipe left. Next.
Swipe left. Solomon Hill of Indiana. He's had the occasional good game. He's been playing better in the playoffs. He's only been in the league for 3 years, so he might be someone that the coaching staff can look at and go.
Devin says swipe left.
Does he? All right. Here's one I'd swipe left on. Jeff Green. I'm over him.
I really liked him back in the day, but it's kind of like that same situation with Evan Turner. It's like, yeah, you had me 3 or 4 years ago, maybe.
You had me at hello.
Okay, we're going to
I loved it.
Swipe left.
I loved it when him and Durant were playing together. But once he got away from Durant, all the holes in his game became obvious. Here's a guy that actually does intrigue me. Wesley Johnson of the Clippers. His offensive game is spotty, shall we say, but he's a really good perimeter defender. And he's a lengthy guy. He's an athletic guy. And that would be the strength, I think, of bringing in someone like him. And he's another guy from the class of 2010 that was drafted ahead of Gordon Hayward.
Okay. That one intrigues me.
Next is the Memphis Suicide Squad.
Can we just swipe left on the entire squad except one?
No, we're listening.
Which one?
We talked about Conley last week, so never mind. Swipe left on all of them. No, go ahead. What are they?
The wings are Vince Carter, PJ Hairston, Lance Stevenson, and Matt Barnes.
I have a confession. Okay. I wanted Matt Barnes in a Jazz uniform a few years back.
When he was at Golden State?
I think he was leaving Orlando. And I thought, the Jazz really needs some guy who's just going to come in and mix things up.
And be an enforcer?
Yeah, be an enforcer. Be that edge, because they didn't really have that. But at this point, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with Derek Fisher in any way, shape, or form. So I have to let that dream just kind of go by the wayside, and we're done with Matt Barnes as
well. I think the most appropriate name for this group is exactly what John called them, the Suicide Squad. And my answer to that is no, I'm not touching it.
And really, I think Trevor Booker and Joe Ingles have provided pretty decent edge this year. I just love anytime there's altercations. There's not a single player on this planet that intimidates Joe Ingles, and he does it with a smile.
Agreed.
Okay, Miami. Here's the guy that I covet the more and more I think about it. Luol Deng is going to be a free agent.
Yes.
I would love him on the Jazz.
The problem is cost.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a starter. He's probably looking at Miami and thinking, you know, we'll get Bosch back next year. This has been a pretty good fit for me. So it's a question of what Miami wants to do. If Miami, if they can't agree on money, does Deng go ahead and move on? He is getting older, so maybe he starts to see that he just needs that one last contract now. But yeah, if the money's right, I would love having him on the team. The other one over there is, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I looked him up and he's 31. It looks like he has a younger brother named Deng Deng that plays in the D-League. I'm just saying, you might, I don't know. I had no idea he had a brother in the D-League.
Well, okay. The other guy is Gerald Green, but one quick look at his stats, I just went, nah, he's
one.
He had a good year about six yes. years ago, and that's about it.
One note on Deng, I got to give him credit, because very early on in his career, and even when he was at Chicago, one of the knocks against him was his consistency. You never thought you were going to see that same level night in and night out with him. I remember this because I remember watching him saying, come on, he'd be such a good player if he's consistent. To his credit, he's been that in Miami. He has been that consistent contributor for Miami, and I think that's good for him. And I think that's why we're probably coveting him now, is because of what he brings on a nightly basis down there.
Yeah. Let's see. Next team, Milwaukee, OJ Mayo. OJ Mayo was a guy I would have liked on the Jazz a couple years ago, but now I would say no.
Agreed.
I think he's gotten worse every year for 3 years in a row, and I just don't think it's worth it. One guy who's just a giant question mark that the Jazz, I wouldn't want the Jazz to take the risk on, but I'm still intrigued what will happen with him, is Eric Gordon. He has been injury prone. He's just had a miserable time in New Orleans. He is a free agent, so I think a change of scenery will do him good, but the question is, does he have anything to contribute? This was a guy who, his last year in LA, he was scoring 22 points a game, and it looked like he was going to be part of the solid core that the Clippers had. But he was part of the trade that brought in Chris Paul. And when he's been able to play, he's been a good scorer for New Orleans, but it's just a matter of, you know, how healthy is this guy going to be? How many games are you going to get out of him? He has not played more than 70 games in a season since his rookie year. So
with the Clippers.
He's a guy who would be, yeah, his rookie year with the Clippers. The most games he's ever played in a season since is 64. Wow. And that was in 2014. So he's the guy that you sign knowing that you're probably only going to have him for 75% of the year if you want to take that risk. Now, when he plays, he's a really good offensive player. Defensively, probably not great. I mean, it's hard to say with New Orleans because their defense was so bad this year. Everyone's numbers look bad. But it's not like he's ever been known for that. He's a guy you bring on to score, and he is a good scorer, even though he's been worse lately. He was still shooting 38% from three last year. So, you know, some team is going to, you know, roll the dice on him, and it'll be interesting to see what they do. I think he's too risky for the Jazz to want to take on, especially when the Jazz, I know they want to improve their outside scoring, but they are also want to make sure that they are able to keep a cohesive defensive unit. And I just don't see that happening with him.
I agree.
All right. Next is the Knicks. And the Knicks, Aaron Aflalo can opt out of his contract. Is he someone at this point that you'd still want?
He's a guy that a while back I really liked his game. Would I mind having him? No. If he can still put up good offensive numbers, I wouldn't mind him, but I don't know if he's worth the risk at this point. And he probably is going to cost more than the Jazz can dish out anyway.
Here's my thing. I didn't even know he played for the Knicks. And if I don't know that, then I'm not interested. Someone should be talented enough that I know them and where they are currently playing. Maybe it's just this black hole that is New York.
It could be.
But I'm just not interested.
Yeah, he was with Orlando, and then he went to Denver, and then he was traded to Portland, and then he signed with the Knicks.
But let's go back.
It really bounced around.
But let's go back before Orlando. Didn't he have a second stint in Denver? Wasn't he in Denver before Orlando?
Yeah, he's been with five different teams. And Denver broken up. So he started in Detroit, he went to Denver, went to Orlando, went back to Denver, then to Portland, and now he's on the Knicks.
If we could get the Aaron Aflalo from the first stint in Denver, where he was the sixth or seventh man on the team putting up numbers like he was, I'd be okay with it. But I don't think we're going to see that from him or get that anymore. And like I said, I don't think the price is right either.
Well, he was scoring 18 points a game, shooting 42% from three that last year in Orlando.
Right.
And so he just looked like this great acquisition that some team was going to get. He goes to Denver. Denver's awful. He goes to Portland, and he's very helpful with Portland, but then, you know, they let everybody go. And on the Knicks, he's been the third best player on a lottery team. So,
plus, would he be welcomed after that nasty flagrant foul that cost Alec Burks the rest of his season last year either?
Oh, yeah. Good point. It'd be funny.
Okay, next.
All right. I don't know if there's anyone else really. I mean, Lance Thomas doesn't really tempt me.
Honestly, I think you've mentioned most of the names that would have come across my mind.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Durant before. Randy Foy, he'd be another one where I'd say don't try bringing him back because it won't go as well the first time around. Orlando, I think I brought up Brandon Jennings last week.
Yes.
I guess he's really the only one from Orlando I'd be interested in. Philly... just about everybody from Philly is available, but good luck naming anybody from Philly.
What about Grant from Philly?
Oh, somehow I figured you would mention Grant at some point in time.
Jeremy, he's under contract, and he will be for another 2 years. So
okay, never mind.
He's probably one of the only players the Sixers will hold on to.
That's Devin's Notre Dame love for the day.
He's not Notre Dame.
Or no, he wasn't Notre Dame. His twin was Notre Dame.
No, not his twin.
No,
His brother.
I thought they were brothers for some reason.
Is Jarian Jeremy's brother?
Yes. Yeah, Jaren.
I was going to say, I thought he was his twin, but it doesn't matter because their dad was a twin. So, you know, skip a generation, my bad.
Mm-hmm. All right. Phoenix has a guy who could be good. Mirza Teletovic. He's a really good shooter, but he's also known as a black hole guy where once you pass him the ball, you won't see it again. So there's good and bad with him, but when he's on fire, he is unstoppable.
So just don't pass him the ball unless he's wide open.
Yeah.
Just put him in the corner. You say, you hang out here.
Corner three!
He roasted the Jazz.
You put him there, he'll make it every time.
That's the one thing I think Jazz fans remember from last season and Phoenix is the way that he just lit the Jazz up. It seemed like every time we went down there and played.
Yeah, he's an older guy. He'll be 31 before the next season starts. He's from Bosnia. He's only been in the NBA 4 years, but his year in Phoenix was just really a breakout year for him. 39% from three. He can rebound a little, but he's one I would think you would have to consider.
I would. If the price is right, yeah. But I wouldn't spend a lot on him.
Yeah. Let's see. Portland. Gerald Henderson. He intrigues me.
Yes.
Probably the only one.
Is Crabbe at the end of his contract in Portland?
Crabbe has a qualifying offer, so he will be restricted.
I think Henderson intrigues me a little more than Crabbe in that situation, though.
I just want to throw a huge offer at someone from Portland that they really want to keep.
So you're saying restricted free agent
might be the guy.
For Crabbe, you turn around and throw some sort of a poisonous offer that way?
Yep, I want to do
Portland
that.
Portland has a ton of cap room this summer, so I don't know if they're going to be too worried about it. I really like Henderson. He would intrigue me. Let's see. He's 35% from three, which is fine. But, you know, he seems to be a pretty good two-way player. Decent rebounder for his position. Let's see. Next is Sacramento. Is there anybody?
No.
Not really.
I know Rudy Gay.
Is there anyone free?
I know Rudy Gay's been mentioned, but no.
Caron Butler's possibility. I think he's pretty much done.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
They have someone that I'd really want, but I can't think of his name, and I'm sure he's not a free agent.
Sacramento does?
Yeah.
Who?
I'm blanking on the name. Sean would know who it is. Sean's a big fan.
Bellinelli?
Nope, it's not Bellinelli. He's like
McLemore?
Nope.
Is he a wing player?
Caspi.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
He's under contract next year, but not happening.
I would too. He Sacramento got him for a bargain, but yeah, he's under contract next year. Let's see, San Antonio. They have a team option on Boris Diaw. They could cancel that. I don't see why they would.
He's an intriguing player for me. I won't lie.
Yeah, he's one of those guys where San Antonio works really well for him, but I don't know how good he would be out of there.
Right. Well, I mean, no, it's so okay, but he had a pretty decent career in Charlotte.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he has the tools.
There's something about him though where I'm trying to remember where he was where he just wasn't very good, and then he got resurrected.
I don't remember.
I think it was Phoenix, where they just thought he would be more than he was.
Well, how many years was he
with
Charlotte?
And then he went to Charlotte. He was pretty decent in Charlotte. Yeah. He was there for about 3 years.
That's right. So, I mean, he has all the tools that I think would fit in the right system, which is showing in San Antonio, which is all the more reason to believe that I think he would fit in Quinn Snyder's system here. I honestly believe that would be a nice fit. He is one player that does very much intrigue me, although he would be in our next discussion because I think he's more a big than he is a wing player.
Yeah, he is. He plays more power forward, even though he's 6'8". And then the other one is Kevin Martin.
No.
If you want to see if he wants to, he's in Sacramento to chase his ring. He's
San Antonio, you mean?
Awful on defense. Yeah, San Antonio. I think he's I want to say he's done. I mean, he has not played. Yeah, it's been a while since he's played 70 games.
In my opinion, he's not a very efficient player either. He might be for San Antonio right now because that's what Popovich's system does, but he's never really been an efficient player, if you will.
Yeah, when he's a high scorer, his teams lose.
Yeah.
And now he's at the end of Sacramento's bench to get his ring.
You mean San Antonio's?
San Antonio, why do I keep saying that? Was he on Sacramento for a while?
He was.
He was in Sacramento for a while, yes.
He's been there. Okay. He's been Minnesota. He was in Oklahoma City. He was
in Houston. He was in Houston for a bit, too.
Yeah.
For a stint.
Let's see. Toronto, DeMar DeRozan can opt out of his contract. I don't know.
As good as DeRozan is, I think you're going to pay more than you want to for him if you're the Jazz.
Yeah, he's good, but he's not someone I want to be throwing $20 million a year at, and that's what he's going to get. Toronto's probably going to give him the max.
Yeah.
So, dum-dee-dum-dum-dum.
Any other names we're missing on the list? I don't know. I can't think of anybody.
No, Toronto's pretty – most of their guys are under contract. And so that brings us to the last team, which is the Wizards. The Wizards are probably interested in – trading Bradley Beal. Now he'll be a restricted free agent, and I can see them being willing to work out some kind of sign-in trade with him. Or Scott Brooks might say, you know what, I want to keep him and see what I can do with him. That's about where they are with him.
I like Beal's game, but I don't know if the Jazz could pull it off.
Yeah, I don't know. And then the other one on their team. Although I think he plays more four. He can play three or four. That's Jared Dudley.
Jared Dudley, though, is one of those players that I'm kind of wondering if we've seen the last of his really decent seasons as well. I don't know how much more you're going to get out of Dudley than you already do.
Well, yeah, Dudley, I think, would be a really good bench player. I think he's not that old. He'll be 31 this year. Shot 42% from three. He was really one of the bright spots for the Wizards, who just had this up and down season. So he would be someone I'd be interested in. He seems like he would be the exact kind of veteran bench guy you would want. Of everyone we've talked about, probably not my first choice, but I think if I was ranking everybody, he'd still be in my top 10 for considerations.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's a good list. It's quite the list. You've mentioned a couple people that I think we all were in agreement on would be a good fit. It's funny that we all at least somewhat agreed on Marvin Williams. That could be an interesting afterthought, really. But when it comes down to it, I'm not sure the Jazz will. I'm cautious in saying this. I'm not even sure the Jazz are really go after anybody, if you ask me. I just don't think they will.
Oh, I think they will. And the thing with talking free agents is I think the Jazz are going to be active on draft night. I would put the odds at, I would say there's a greater chance than not that the Jazz trade their pick.
I would agree with that.
So I think they're going to have an active off season. I don't think they're last season was just kind of, let's not shake up things too much. We have a good thing here. I think this year is where they look at it and they looked at the injuries and how the roster was built, and they just say, we've got to make the playoffs next year. And I think that's the mentality they're going to have. And so I think they will be more aggressive this offseason, previous seasons.
Well, and that's another reason why I said cautious, is because I'm cautious in saying what I think they'll do. Because I don't want to, I don't know. I'm leaning either way, trying to see what they, in the end, I don't know what they'll do. I would hope you're right. And I would think that they will. But it has to be for the right price. And I don't expect them to throw a lot of money at anybody. So I would expect that they'll bring in, it's going to be one of those, you know, one of the players that, you know, we all looked at a bunch of guys that we said, we really like this. I wonder if they're going to go at the ones that we said, yeah, he might be a nice fit. I he's my second preference, but he was a nice fit. I think that's the kind of player the Jazz would likely go after.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah. LeBron James. So anyway.
Well.
All right. Well, so that's week two of our free agent talk. Don't know that we have a lot of pop culture to talk about because, well, we haven't seen Captain America yet.
We'll see that tonight. I will.
Yeah.
When are you seeing it?
I will probably see it tomorrow. And those of you who listen on a Saturday, it will probably be today. But there's a possibility I'll be seeing it tomorrow and taking the family to it. So I've heard nothing but good about it. So.
Yep.
Anything else you can think of? Devin, anything you've been watching recently?
How I Met Your Mother. I decided to start it from the beginning. I'm officially through two seasons. I am not the best at binge watching television.
What do you think of How I Met Your Mother?
I've always liked it. I've watched it for years. I've just never seen the whole story in order.
Okay.
And I wanted to do that. And so it seems like I see like two episodes that I've seen, and then there's one that I've never seen before. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But I've been watching The Blacklist. Looking
yes.
forward to getting caught up on that today.
I just watched last night's episode.
No spoilers, Alan?
I will not
no
give spoilers.
No spoilers, Alan?
Nope. No spoilers.
I'm trying to get into that new one on NBC. I'm not sure if you've seen it, the Game of Silence.
I've seen it talked about, but I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen that.
It's a little slow, it seemed like, for the first few episodes, but the last one I watched was actually pretty good. So we'll see if it holds or not. It's one of those where I'm not sure it will stick with the network. You know, they really promote it, and then it seems to flop and just doesn't survive more than a season or two.
Yeah, but we're talking about NBC. They're really good at doing that with most of their shows.
Having them flop?
No, choosing to move away after a short stint. That's why I'm really holding back thoughts, but I think that Blacklist might be one of those shows that they'll move away from.
I said no spoilers, Alan.
I didn't give you a spoiler.
John, have you been seeing anything? Because Alan's just going to ruin everything
no,
for
I'm
me.
No, I'm not.
Nope. All right, time to plug my ears. Let's wrap this thing up.
Plug your ears. All right. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Jedi and Germs. Get at us if you know, your thoughts on the free agents we talked about. Who do you think the Jazz will go after? Holler at us on Twitter, Jedi and Germs. You could tag myself, Jedi Zog, Germs Guy, or Torn by Devin in that conversation. Look us up on Facebook, Jedi and Germs. As always, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher, Jedi and Germs, and now on Google Play, Jedi and Germs. Again, get back with us. Give us your thoughts on free agents that you think the Jazz will go after, and maybe your overall thoughts on the playoffs. We'll look for you soon. Thanks for listening. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.